Revelation chapter number 14, verses number 1 through 5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women for their virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Heavenly Father, I pray for thy grace, thy protection, guidance and correction in recording this presentation of the first five verses from the chapter number 14 in the book of Revelation. Heavenly Father, I pray for thy grace and ability to use this feeble effort of mine to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, that it be a benefit to thy children. Heavenly Father, blessed be thy name forever. In the chapter 13, the dragon seemed to be using his might and power to empower the two beasts. The majority of humanity is ruled by his raging idolatry. The dragon's tyranny appears as prevalent and matchless power that overcomes the saints and holds the entire world in his satanic grip of cruelty and vile moral decay. In the verse number 8 is the exception. The entire humanity is not in the dragon's pangs. The souls in the Lamb's Book of Life worship not the King of Demons. In the verse number 9, these have the hearing ability of the living. Our Lord's Spirit is voicing his judgment in the verse number 10. Suffering saints are rewarded. Wickedness is condemned. As the violent storm is raging, an entirely different vision appears in the first verse of this chapter number 14. Behold, the Lamb stands on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 with his father's name written in their foreheads. God's almighty Lamb beams to destroy Satan's darkness. 666 is a definite number. It might appear so big and endless beyond our human horizon. The fact is, our Lamb's truth is beyond comparison greater and more powerful than any evil forces and the entire power of darkness. The entire demonic host trembles as they remember his majestic name. James chapter number 2, verse number 19. Here we see the measureless dimensions of this revelation. Our Father's Lamb is forever on the Mount Zion. In the book of Acts, chapter number 7, verse number 55, our brother Stephen is in the midst of the fallen king's furnace, as in Daniel chapter number 3. And at the same time, our brother is on the Mount Zion with the mighty Lamb of God beaming through him. King Uzziah worshipped his own pride and approaches our Lord's altar with incense, contrary to our God's order, 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, verse number 19. When the priests rebuked him, the king's wrath flares up, and that same moment leprosy appeared on his forehead. This was godless worship, blasphemy. Uzziah's number 666. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 8, God's word is given to Israel to be a token on their hand and an ornament on their forehead. All their intentions and all their labors and strivings must be guided by God's word and in full harmony with his commandments. Only that way they are safe, sound, and victorious in their holy faith. and 44,000 with our God's seal in their foreheads are listed in the chapter number 7, verses number 3 through the number 10. Between the chapters number 7 and number 14, we read about many visions signifying many great and amazing developments and changes. These 144,000 sealed have not departed from their Savior and Master. Now we see them with their King. They have not lost their seals because their life is in Christ their Savior, and in Him there is no loss, only gain after gain. The genuine believers follow our Savior from the testing 40 days in the wilderness all the way to the open tomb. All that prayerfully embrace victory in the desert remain victorious in Christ. These chapters, number 7 through the number 14, reveal an abundance of understanding and enlightenment concerning this book, this revelation, and the entire Holy Scriptures. The character of eternal Almighty God, our Father and our Savior, is also confirmed in His omnipresence. The Lamb was slain since the world's foundation. Chapter number 13, verse number 8. The Lamb is on the Mount Zion while He is hanging on the pillar of suffering and shame on Golgotha. He has been with His Heavenly Father all the time while He was among us in the flesh. Gospel according to John, chapter number 8, verse number 16, and chapter number 16, verse number 32. In this book, a part of encouragement for us is to see His glory and victory in His suffering and endurance. This revealing fact is helping us to dwell in Him and continue in humble loyalty and eager submissiveness to His Spirit dwelling in us. When we suffer in our pilgrimage, He suffers with us. The truth is that He suffers more in our suffering as the one who bears us in His loving and caring arms and patiently suffers our infirmities continually. Since He is in us and we in Him, when we suffer with Him, we also rule as kings under our Lord and King of Kings. Our Lord Jesus gives us this awareness that in our suffering, in our rejoicing, in our regrets for our failures, in our gratitude and praise for His accomplishments, always we are with Him on the Mount Zion. Let us look at some Bible records. What is this Mount Zion, which is Mount Hermon in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse number 48? In the Psalm number 65, Zion is the place of our God's praise and our covenant fulfillments. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 5, the prophecy of Isaiah in the chapter 62 is fulfilled. Our King comes to His people, the daughter of Zion. And the entire chapter number 62 abounds with the blessedness of that glorious relationship that grows toward perfect unity. Psalm number 133 presents Hermon and Zion in beauty and blessedness of our Lord God blessing His people with unity, consecration, and anointing in holiness of true adoration. All of that beauty and abundant blessings are only foreshadowing the everlasting fulfillment in our blessed Redeemer, Lord Jesus Christ. In the Epistle to Hebrews, chapter number 12, verses number 22 through 29, we, the genuine children of the everlasting gospel, verse number 6, have come unto the Mount Zion, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, and to a numberless host of angels. In the center of this bliss and beauty is Jesus, our Mediator, the great High Priest, our King and our Lord. Verse number 2. From heaven is heard sound like a great thunder, and like massive amount of water, like a waterfall, blending with a multitude of harps. Harps are not very loud musical instruments, but when they all harp in harmony, the volume is multiplied. Our Lord's Gospel thunders our God's judgment since Adam's sin. The same Gospel sounds healing and comfort to the penitent hearts. It inspires power and endurance to His faithful witnesses and martyrs. In this revelation, symbols, allegories, parables, and literal meanings are all blending in one passage, but taking turns in another, and interpretations follow or precede the linked text. The voice in this verse number 2, as massive as many waters and loud like great rolling thunder, this voice leads. Harps follow in concert. Our great King, our Creator and Savior, leads by the first recorded step of His work. He sees that all is good created. He blesses His creatures, celebrates the completion, and gives instruction for living. He leads all His godly witnesses and all true leaders, prophets, kings, apostles, and faithful disciples. His voice is mighty and powerful in this verse, and just as powerful and mighty in the first book of Kings, chapter number 19, verses number 12 through 18. All of God's people, Abel, Stephen, and all following them in time, sound in harmony with Him, the first and the last, Alpha and Omega, the only Savior. Verse number 3. This multitude sings a new song to the throne, to the four living beings, and to the elders. No man alone can learn this song, but 144,000, all the redeemed from this earth. How did these worshippers learn their song? They are redeemed. Saved men are not instantly transferred into the full perfection in the flesh. We need steady learning the guidance of Christ's Spirit and His Gospel application in our daily walk. Our consistency confirms our safety in Him and our harmony with our Father's good and pleasant will. That way He promised us that He will be fruitful in our daily walk and make us fruitful in His marvelous work. All the translations I have read in English indicate the, quote, location, close quote, of the singing multitude as before the throne, before the four living beings, before the elders. What is revealed in singing before the throne, before the four living beings, and before the 24 elders? In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 23, verse number 22, our Lord tells us that our respect toward heaven and the throne of God is indivisible from our reverence toward God. Are these three levels, like worship, reverence, and respect? Within this passage and other similar texts, I have not noticed some places behind the throne or on one of the two sides of the throne. Singing before the throne, I perceive, signifies a spiritual position and condition of the multitude in relationship to the throne and to the Almighty God in His glory and majesty. In the same new song, the worshippers offer adoration to our Father in Christ and to the Son, our Lord and loving Master. In this same hymn, they reverence and admire the four living beings and the entire arrangement on and around the throne. All that magnifies our Father in Christ deserves our admiration. In the same harmonious harping, the full number of the redeemed honors, loves, and appreciates every faithful prophet, apostle, elder, and encourages all the little ones in Christ's family. Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 18 verse number 10. In Christ's spirit we worship our Father, love the entire family He redeemed, and offer Him our own selves. We cannot intentionally ignore, neglect, or exclude any gospel teaching or any section of our new life in Christ and still retain His full assurance that we are in His Spirit's fellowship. Intentional partial loyalty is total disloyalty in disguise. Our Master enables us to learn this ever new song only in our sincere faithfulness. Here the number 144,000 indicates not a limit or possible exclusion of any soul redeemed and delivered from the power of sin. This number symbolizes the fullness of the total redemption in Christ's ransom. It also indicates that there cannot be anyone self-elected, self-redeemed, or self-delivered. Christ alone saves. The Epistle of James, chapter number 3, verse number 2, and the First Epistle of John, chapter number 1, verse number 8, tell us that we do offend God's perfect holiness, and we are not sinless as long as we live in these earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4, verse number 7. In the First Epistle of John, chapter number 3, verse number 2, we are presently God's children, and Christ's appearance transforms us into His likeness and enables us to see Him as He truly is. In the verse number 3, man, having this living hope in Christ, purifies himself, striving and praying to grow toward His likeness, His perfect example. As long as we live in our mortal body, our experiences take moments or longer time. Between our conversion and seeing Him as He is His constant loving care for us. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 30. That song is like new. Adam and Eve sang that song before their fall, which was our fall also. Abel and Enoch sing that eternal praise, and Noah, Abraham, David, Isaiah, Daniel with his three fellow Israelites, many prophets, apostles, martyrs, and all the little ones redeemed sing of the mighty Lamb's ransom. Throughout these millenniums, this praise is ever new. As the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 6, verse number 23. So the harping His praise is everlasting. As His gift of life is eternal, never aging, so the praise and adoration of the Lamb, the ransom giver, is forever new, eternally fresh, unendingly joyful. The following two verses indicate condition, activity, and position in our Father's grace of these 144,000. Verses 4 and 5. They are not defiled with women. They are virgins. They are faithful followers of the Lamb. They are redeemed from among men. The first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth there is no guile. They are faultless before God's throne. In the verse number 3, the last part, these are redeemed from the earth. Let me align their attributes as listed in these two verses, verse number 3 and verse number 4. Redeemed from the earth, undefiled with women, unconditionally faithful followers of the Lamb, redeemed from among men. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 4, verses number 4 through 6, the only redemption is in Christ, the Son of God. By the grace of our Heavenly Father, in Christ our Savior's sacrifice, we receive this salvation by faith. There is no other salvation, and new life only in Christ. This text contains no needless repetitions. In the book we see some early anointments. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 1, verse number 5, our Lord reveals to this prophet that he, Jeremiah, was sanctified and ordained before his birth. The book of Judges, chapter number 13, verse number 5, records the angel's announcement about Samson's consecration to happen before he was born. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit while his body was still in its developing process. In a wide sense, these individuals elected for such unique tasks were also from among men, from the earth. These 144,000 are redeemed one time and redeemed continually. This is the eternal redemption. They were not defiled with women. Marriage is our Creator's perfect design and is not defiling in its character. Our sin is corrupting all we do. A male can defile himself with a saintly woman without any defilement or involvement of hers, without any awareness or sin of her own. His sinning defiles him. If this defilement, in the verse number 4, the first part, if it were in some way linked to marriage, it could have something to do with the plural form of the noun women. God has designed the marriage as monogamy, and having more than one wife at the same time is obviously departure from the design revealed in God's creation. The last sentence in the verse number 3 is not about physical redemption. The physical side is excluded. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 23, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. In the first Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 15, verses number 50 through 58, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Our present body shall be changed. In Isaiah chapter number 4, verse number 1, 7 women take hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." In Jeremiah chapter number 3, Israel and Judah are compared to 2 corrupted women, adulteresses addicted to harlotry. Isaiah chapter number 4, verse number 1 tells of 7 harlots. These 7 refuse the bread of heaven and the garment of Christ's righteousness. All they desire is his name, not in truth, only as deceitful appearance, to deceive their illegitimate children and the entire world by boasting with the name they never had in reality. The true 144,000 follow not sevenfold deception. The 144,000 follow the Lamb solely and wholly to the end of the battle and straight into his glory just as he leads them. They belong not to the hordes of corruption and decay. They are the 5 wise virgins in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 1 and on. They are espoused to the one husband to be presented as a chaste virgin to Christ. The 144,000 have their redemption completed by the mercy of our Heavenly Father, by the grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, and their place is on the Mount Zion. The Lamb is in their midst, the center of their worship. They are named the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Some translations name them the firstborn. In Exodus chapter 4, verses number 22 and 23, our God's message to Pharaoh is, "Israel is my firstborn. Let my son go that he may serve me." The chapter 12, accounts for two groups of the firstborn, rebellious that died and obedient delivered through the blood of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb foretells God's true ransom lamb. In Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 20, an unclean animal must be redeemed by a lamb, or without redemption, the unclean must die. In Deuteronomy chapter number 21, verse number 17, our Lord commands double inheritance to be the portion that belongs to the firstborn. Beside the material possessions, the double inheritance traditionally included leadership. First Epistle to Timothy chapter number 5, verses number 17 through 20 tell us to apply double honor to the believers gifted with godly leadership and gospel teaching. These verses also imply that our adversary attacks with shrewd force the fervent gifted laborers. Our Lord tells us in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 12, to rejoice when we suffer for the sake of our testimony. The reward is both great in the time present and great in eternity. Encouragement to rejoice is in many Bible passages. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 23, Gospel according to Luke chapter number 6, verse number 23, chapter number 15, verse number 5. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 2, chapter number 12, verse number 12. In the Second Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse number 10. In the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 18, chapter number 2, verses 16 through 18, chapter number 3, verse number 1, and many others. We share the double inheritance. Here we have suffering and comfort and joy. In eternity is our everlasting joy, celebrating the mighty Lamb's victory. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 20, our Lord teaches us that our great joy is not in what we do in His name, but what our Heavenly Father gave Him, His Son, to do for us. Our Father is pleased to give His own Son this high honor to be the Lamb of God, our ransom. Our Lord Jesus offers Himself to please His Father perfectly. This eternal love of the Almighty God, now and forever, is open to all who trust and obey the gospel teaching. To them He gives power to partake of the great privilege to be followers of Christ for a time here and joint heirs with our King of Kings forever. In Deuteronomy chapter number 26, verse number 1 through 11, is the teaching about the first fruit offering. A joyous celebrating the abundance of our Father's blessings upon the promised land and His people Israel, a feast of gratitude to our Lord. In the Gospel according to John chapter 17, our Savior's prayer is recorded. Throughout this record, the Son delights to delight the Father. Words fail me to describe how eternal heavenly love beams from the Father to the Son and from the Son to the Father. In the verse number 6, our blessed Savior says, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gave them me, and they have kept Thy word. As our Redeemer delights to please the Father, so He rejoices in His disciples' desire to keep the Father's word. I perceive that this is the first fruit offering. Father, I delight doing Thy will. There is no hesitation, no procrastination, no begging to persuade, only giving of self and receiving with gratitude and praise. as the glory, majesty, beauty, and purity of our Father's holiness is perfectly presented in Christ, so the 144,000, trusting and obeying our Father's word revealed in the Son, received the power to be members of the blessed heavenly family. The Father's gift to the Son, and the Son's offering of gratitude to the Father. In their mouth there is no guile. They are faultless before the throne of God. Their spiritual virginity, we see in the first half of the verse number 4, relates to other attributes ascribed to the 144,000. Our Master's genuine disciples are like a chaste virgin wholeheartedly committed to her beloved bridegroom, waiting for him. His guidance is their soul's fervent endeavor, and they will not follow human organizations to support man-made religions. Our Lord redeemed them from earthly, godless, living, and lifeless existence. He also redeemed them from following deceivers and self-deceived religious authorities, falsely so-called. All other professing, nominal Christians are beguiled and beguile others. Life and truth is only in Christ.